What you are listening to right here is another wrestling podcast, and I am Victorlicious.
And I'm L. Collins.
And we are The Now. Woo!
AJ Styles says he doesn't have an opponent at WrestleMania. He does now.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best ever will be.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
Oh my God!
We are taking over.
Drink it in, man. Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
They think they got the answers. I changed the question.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
AWP, another wrestling podcast.
Bada boom, realest guys in the room. How you doing?
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to episode 151. I'm Credo.
I'm Angry Cooter.
And I've been deleted by TNA. But you can call me Minority Mike until then.
Joining us today, though, for everybody tuning in, we have on Poughkeepsie's own, The Now, Victorlicious and Hale Collins are joining us. They're going to be talking to us about their title shot they have going on this Sunday with Northeast Wrestling. You guys know The Now, Poughkeepsie's own from our hometown.
I've always been a big fan of Hale Collins and especially of Victorlicious. Guy his size, the stuff that he does is pretty impressive for a guy his size. He's very athletic, very agile, and he's strong as a fucking ox. So I'm looking forward to seeing these guys finally get a shot at Northeast Wrestling's tag team titles.
It's good to see a group of guys that are local in the Poughkeepsie area, in the Hudson Valley area, you know, making a name for themselves on the independent scene. So, you know, it should be a good listen to hear what The Now has to say later on.
But guys, if you're going to see any action this weekend, it's Northeast Wrestling Saturday night, March Mayhem. They're going to be at the Port Jervis High School in Port Jervis, New York. The big guy, Ryback's going to be there. Cody Rhodes, The Miracle Mike Bennett, Broken Matt Hardy, Maria Manic, and more. But Sunday night, The Night, The Now, have a tag team title shot. It's the Kingdom in Chaos. It's going to be Northeast Wrestling at the Waterbury PAL Building, 64 Division Street, Waterbury, Connecticut. Guys, make sure you head out there. We'll be there in attendance somewhere. You can come find us. It's going to be a good weekend for wrestling, for Northeast Wrestling, and we hope nothing but the best for The Now and their tag team title shot.
What did you do now, Mike?
Well, you know what? I went on a little drunken banter on Twitter. Yeah, I went out drinking Saturday night. You know, let
oh,
the goose...
I think I did see this, yes.
You know, drink that juice the goose let loose, you know? Then I was thinking about the whole Matt Hardy compound, Senior Benjamin situation, which we'll get into a little later, and it pissed me off. Reminded me about when TNA tried to screw the fans with the AJ Styles debut last year or 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, so you went ham on that, I remember.
I went ham on that one. I guess God. They finally realized that we have to really put this guy in his place, but they didn't really put me in my place. I put them in their place, and what their response was, they blocked me on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, for the fans that are listening now, TNA, who to me seem like really bitter ex-girlfriends, they blocked me on Twitter. I am blocked on Twitter by TNA. I'm blocked by a wrestling promotion.
Yeah, so what's your grand total at now, Mike?
Let's see. I'm blocked by Kalisto.
Yes.
Blocked by Vince Russo.
Oh, boy.
Josh Matthews. And TNA. I'm blocked by TNA.
The streak lives.
So yeah, you want to talk about a real streak. Who's next?
Now, guys, has the WWE lost its touch on how to properly build a storyline, a feud? I mean, it's been pretty chaotic, pretty odd lately, if you will.
I don't think they've had any problems building good storylines, because the storylines are pretty good. The only problem is, I think they're surrounded around matches that really nobody wants to see. I think that's more the issue, is the selection of matches for Mania. The storylines have actually been pretty compelling. They kind of draw me in to the point where, all right, maybe this won't be the shit show that I think it's going to be. Alas, I have a feeling a lot of us are going to be supremely disappointed on April the 2nd.
I think they absolutely lost their touch. I mean, when have we gotten a compelling storyline that's had that slow burn and that slow build? I mean, I can't even date back. I mean, I think the last storyline that I was fully invested in and had a compelling story to it was the Daniel Bryan story leading into WrestleMania 30. Other than that, I mean, the only storyline this year that was compelling and got me invested was Owens versus Jericho, and that's for a secondary title, unfortunately.
Yeah. You were going crazy talking about Miz and Maryse and the whole John Cena, Nikki Bella thing.
That started, but that's not a slow burn. Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Yeah, they're like, it's like, okay, we have 4 weeks till Mania or 5 weeks, whatever it was. It's like, hey, let's build all new storylines for Mania. To where, yeah, you have the Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho storyline, which has been building for months and months. That's a Mania match. I feel like, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but like AJ and Shane, they just started that storyline. Like, that hasn't been going all year. I feel like WrestleMania needs to be these long burns, these long storylines that happen throughout the year, and not just, hey, let's throw together a match for WrestleMania, or throw together a quick storyline. I'm like, come on already.
Everything seems so rushed the way they're doing things. Like, I mean, Credo, you and I have discussed before in the past that right after the Royal Rumble, we don't need any other pay-per-views. Use those months to start building up to WrestleMania, because you want to invest these people into it. Like, I don't want to see matches that are put together 2 weeks, a week before WrestleMania. This is your Super Bowl. You need to build that. Like, I mean, I remember the Royal Rumble when Hogan and Warrior were in the ring together, and people were like, holy shit, this is a big fucking deal. Yep. And they used those months to build up to when they exploded at WrestleMania 5.
And I understand that, like, not every story or every match has to have that long build. But, I mean, you know, okay, granted, we've been shitting on the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match. But at the same time, yes, they kind of built it up from Survivor Series and whatnot. And I know they're part-timers, but, okay, at least it has a little bit of a backstory. Like, they didn't just put this together. You know, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho has a little bit of a backstory. But all these other ones, I feel like, hey, we need somebody to have a tag team championship match. And it's just like, let's just throw these guys in there. Let's throw this together. And I'm like, it's not just any other pay-per-view, guys. It's WrestleMania. Like, let's build this up better than what anything else that you've ever had this year. Build it up longer, if you will.
You know, somebody said something interesting to me this week that kind of got me thinking, because I've been really hating on AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. I this is not something I want to see, even though they're doing their best to try to make it compelling. Yes, let's stick somebody's head through another glass window, like we haven't seen that in the last few weeks. So let's use the same gimmick on two different shows. But that being said, somebody said they're putting AJ Styles up against the McMahon. And that basically says that they have a lot of faith in him. And that really got me thinking. I'm like, it might not be the spot that he wants, but I think he's garnering a lot of respect from the people backstage. But the fact that they're trusting him with Shane, which in their mind is a big deal.
Well, how about that? Hold on to that thought. We'll talk about that during our little WrestleMania, Road to WrestleMania, because we're going to be talking about AJ and Shane, and we have a lot to talk about on that one. But regardless, guys, it's been a long week of wrestling. Let's get right into the week that was, shall we? All right, guys, the Hardy TNA feud. TNA has sent a cease and desist letter to Ring of Honor for using the Hardy's broken gimmick. Guys, there's been a lot of talk and chatter about this, pissing a lot of people off. But what are your thoughts? Does TNA own the broken Hardy gimmick?
Oh, man, this whole thing got me so angry because, like I said, TNA, they're like a bitter ex-girlfriend where, like, when they lose something good, they have to make problems for everybody. This is why I hate TNA. And the worst part about it, you know, these are new owners. This is not Dixie doing this like how she did in the past with AJ. This is new owners that are bitter. I mean, they could have did the stand-up thing and sent these cease and desist, not just to Ring of Honor, but they sent cease and desist to DirecTV, Dish Network, Time Warner Cable, which is Spectrum right now, telling them that if they air this Ring of Honor program with the broken Hardys, that they're going to get sued. So this fucked Ring of Honor in so many ways, because Dish Network dropped the Ring of Honor 15th anniversary pay-per-view. DirecTV dropped the 15th anniversary pay-per-view. And I believe Time Warner, I think Time Warner stood strong. I got to look into that. But they took money out of Ring of Honor's pockets. And it's bitter. It's spiteful. They should have did the stand-up thing where they sent them a notice a week in advance where they could figure out something. They got 7 days to do it. But they sent them the day before, or the day of the pay-per-view. Like, I mean, it bothers me that TNA is so bitter over something that they had no control of. Matt Hardy allegedly had all creative control in the contract that he had with Dixie. Now the new owners are coming in and they think it's their piece of the pie. Like, this broken gimmick is ours. But in reality, when he had that contract with Dixie Carter and her people, it was Matt's creative ability. He was the one that put the money in when they did all the final deletions and they did all the Apocalypto, all that stuff. That was money funded out of Matt Hardy's pockets. Now, TNA is also going after Senor Benjamin for the rights of the name Senor Benjamin. That's that's Rebby Sky's father right there. And Senor Benjamin didn't even make a dime off of TNA. They didn't pay him anything. He was showing up. He wasn't even under contract by TNA, and they're going after Senor Benjamin. Are they going to go after King Maxwell next? Like, what are they going to sue him for? This is ridiculous, guys. Like, yeah. It bothers me so much. And then that's why I got blocked by they're in the process of fighting right now. I mean, fuck that owl. Yeah. Seriously, I'm with you. I'm with you, Rebby. Fuck that owl.
Wow. Oh my god.
TNA, their Thursday night broadcast, they weren't excited about the ratings they had, which is a big drop of the ratings with the new ownership, but they were excited about the social media attention they got. I don't know if they realized that all the social media attention they've been getting is all negative.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just die already. We've gotten to a point where I used to love TNA when it first started because it was a promotion that actually gave a shit about the fans and gave the fans what they wanted. I mean, there was high-flying action. They created the X Division. There were so many positives. And slowly but surely, it just degraded, and it was just going away, until now we got this. The company that was for the fans is now taking away from the fans because the fans are the ones that are losing. I mean, it doesn't matter what promotion that the Hardys are in. I think most fans, if you're an Impact Wrestling fan, you probably watch all sorts of stuff outside of WWE because that's pretty much how it goes, Mike. I mean, would I be fair in saying that?
No, I mean, the thing that really sucks is, like, there's a lot of guys on that roster that are talented. There are. And then the company does this, and it's just like, I don't even want to defend this company anymore. I know for a fact that if that company, that ship finally sinks and it doesn't resurface back up, a lot of guys on that roster, they'll find jobs, they'll land on their feet, they'll be okay. But, I mean, it like you said, I mean, I think it's time that company just, I mean, I'm not going to endorse my viewership anymore. Like, I mean, the only reason why I really got into TNA was because of the Hardys, because it intrigued me. You know, this broken gimmick, it was great. And now the Hardys are gone. I tried to give it a chance under the new ownership, and it was just so confusing to watch with the arguing on the commentary table that was taken away from all the matches, with Alberto Del Rio winning the title, but then they made him relinquish the title because they thought it wasn't fair and it wasn't honorable. Like, that's another topic. If that's the case, then I guess every heel should be like, you know, okay, well, I didn't win it the right way. I guess I got to relinquish the title back. It's horrible. Who's the owners, by the way? Because you got Dutch Mantel who comes out. You got Bruce Pritchard. And the worst thing, let me get into Dutch Mantel. Dutch Mantel comes out and he's cutting a promo about everybody who's there in the past who's no longer there. You're cutting a promo about these guys like Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, these guys that are no longer there anymore. You're telling me that they're no longer there, that they used to be great. because these guys aren't there. So why am I going to watch a product if you're telling me about guys that are on another promotion? These guys that you're hyping up, I'm going to go change the channel and watch WWE Network.
Yeah, that's a bad move by Dutch.
That was
a absolutely right. I didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Because somebody sent me the link to that promo, and I was like, you got to be kidding me right now. What a way to put over other companies instead of your own. You should be focusing on your talent. Don't worry about the past, because the past is basically getting you in trouble. Ever since Hogan put his hands on that company, it's been a sinking ship. And the fucking Titanic needs to stay at the bottom of the ocean already.
All right, guys. In other news, Christopher Daniels wins the Ring of Honor World Championship at their 15th anniversary event. Guys, it's been a long time coming for Christopher Daniels. He has never won the Ring of Honor World Championship, especially this late in his career. I mean, he's still a great wrestler, but let's face it, you know, he's pretty much towards the end of his career, if you will. What are you guys' thoughts about this? I mean, I definitely did not see this coming.
I love every second of it. I mean, you had those casual fans, the fans that don't watch anything outside of WWE that are supportive of Goldberg winning the title, saying, oh, well, you guys complain about Goldberg being 50 years old winning. You got this 47-year-old winning their title. It's a little different. See, Goldberg hasn't been in a ring for more than 2 minutes, and he's a world champion. Before the 2 minutes, he hasn't been in a ring for, what, 13 years, I want to say? Christopher Daniels, on the other hand, yeah, he's 47, but he's busted his ass since 1992, and he has worked his way. I mean, he has evolved his character. Even his days in TNA, he was amazing to watch. And then him with Frankie Kazarian, they were an entertaining tag team to watch. And now to see him finally get some credibility to his record and give him a world title, I'm all favor for it. I love it. Christopher Daniels with the best moonsault ever, 3 times on Adam Cole to win the Ring of Honor title. I loved it. It was a great match, compelling story. It was good, real good.
I love Christopher Daniels. I first got introduced to him when he was in the X Division with TNA. You know, you compare him to Goldberg, but you're talking about a guy who can actually wrestle. This is somebody who actually deserves a world title. He's busted his ass, like Mike said. The only hang up I have on this is Ring of Honor has done this before with Jerry Lynn. You know, the older guy at the end of his career trying to make a comeback, this, that, the other thing. So fucking, you know. That's my hang up on it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's kind of like a repeat of a storyline. I mean, they're both very deserving. I don't know if he's ever been a world champion anywhere else, but, you know, it's nice to see that he finally got that under his belt.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll tell you what, I was there at the Manhattan Mayhem show, and his opponent for the Supercard of Honor coming up WrestleMania weekend is Dalton Castle. I'll tell you what, guys, Dalton Castle was the second over guy there besides the Hardy showing up that night. The biggest pop of the night was for Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle will be facing Christopher Daniels at the Supercard of Honor. I hate to say it, but could Christopher Daniels be that transitional champion for Dalton Castle? I mean, this guy has got the fan base, and I don't know. Is it the Peacock's time to fly, so to speak?
I think it's time they put the belt on the Peacock. Listen, I love Christopher Daniels. I think it's well-deserving that he got that title. But like you just said, Dalton Castle was, besides the Hardys, was the most over. People love this character. He's very controversial with him and his boys, as he likes to say. But, I mean, that's what you do. You put the belt on somebody who's the most over, especially a guy like Dalton Castle. I think it's time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a fun-filled weekend, that weekend, especially WrestleMania weekend. But speaking of WrestleMania weekend, WWE, we just heard the news that Kurt Angle will be inducted by John Cena himself. Some people are hoping it would have been Austin, or some people are hoping it would have been somebody else. But, I mean, I think Cena, you know, it was kind of that passing of the torch, if you will, Kurt Angle gave to Cena, to where Cena, you know, when Kurt Angle left, Cena, you know, took that ball and ran with it and pretty much made him a superstar. And to have him induct Kurt Angle, do you guys agree? Is this a good choice?
Oh, fuck no. Are you kidding me? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, I get the whole passing of the torch thing, but you know how it is during these ceremonies. The second Cena comes out, the boos are going to come out there. They should have picked somebody like an Austin who's respected by the crowd, so it doesn't tarnish the show. I mean, the show is supposed to be respectful. Unfortunately, the fans are far from respectful because they always think that it's time for the gimmick. Yes, we get it. It's John Cena. You don't like him. But they're going to boo, and it just sucks for Kurt Angle that he's going to have to come out to a crowd that was just booing the guy inducting him for the past 5 minutes.
I got to disagree. I think it's fine. I'm okay with it. I mean, yeah, the fans are going to boo when he comes out, but when it comes to that speech, they're going to shut up because I know for a fact at Hall of Fames, the fans get their stuff out in the beginning, but when the speech is happening, they're very respectful when it comes to the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Oh, God, no. Cena, you weren't there in the Garden. Me and Credo were there in the Garden. They were assholes.
I haven't heard fans interrupting speeches at all at the Hall of Fame. I mean, they're from what I've heard lately, they've been really strict with that. No heckling, no nothing during the speeches, even induction speeches. I personally think I'm okay with that. I would have rather have seen Stone Cold because there's more of a connection there, but there is also a connection with Cena and Angle. Yes, there was the passing of the torch when Angle, you know, put Cena on the map, but these two actually had a very good rivalry together going once he became the Dr. Thuganomics and then he progressed into Super Cena. I mean, they had great matches and great feuds and supposedly from what I've heard, they've had a great relationship backstage. So I'm completely okay with it. I think the fans are going to boo Cena at first, but Cena is a man of many words. He knows how to speak. He speaks very fluently, very great. I think he's going to put over Angle enough where the crowd isn't going to boo him. They're just going to be excited to see Angle come out.
I just had this great idea. Could you imagine if they got Lesnar to induct them? Because I mean, they had a great feud too, right? I mean,
yeah, that speech, yeah, that's a $5 million payday for Lesnar right there.
Brock F5 Angle, fall on head, shooting star press.
Oh. Yeah, I've only been paid enough to be out here for 2 minutes, so we're just going to make this quick. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Angle.
Phoning it in. There you go. All right, well, we'll talk more. We're going to have a little Hall of Fame special coming up before Mania, but in other news, Lucha Underground, guys, seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix. Good idea, bad idea. You know, I personally don't get El Rey Network, so I've only seen clips of Lucha Underground here and there for what I saw online where people would put on YouTube or whatnot. So I haven't been able to watch this. And, you know, a wrestling show that has seasons, I kind of love it because, you know, if you miss Raw and SmackDown, you really can't go back and catch up unless you DVR every show. You know what I mean? So, but having a season where, hey, we know it's going to be 20 episodes or whatnot, and then we're on to season 2. I'm digging that. I love that style to where a wrestling program is in seasons. You know what I mean? So I can't wait to catch up on this because I really, like I said, I put it off. I know a little bit here and there what's going on, but I just, you know, I don't have that station, so I haven't really been able to watch it. I'm happy. What about you guys? Have you seen Lucha Underground? Are you into it, or are you excited that it's on Netflix? Because, you know, putting a wrestling program on Netflix, almost competing with the WWE Network, right? So if they do good, could that lead to other people putting their stuff on Netflix or companies?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, WWE had a lot of stuff on Netflix at one point. I mean, a lot of their documentaries and stuff. But I'm excited for this. I mean, I'm probably not going to get to it right away. I mean, because I watch a lot of, you know, network television on Hulu and stuff like that. But I'll definitely check it out over the summer when nothing else is running. I mean, it'll be a good binge watch for me. I'll probably enjoy the shit out of it. But that's the thing, though. I mean, I don't know if I could binge watch wrestling like that. I know, which is funny coming from me because you figure how many hours a week are we watching with Raw, SmackDown. I watch NXT and 205 Live too. So, I mean, to add that into the mix and try to binge watch it, I mean, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to probably wait till the summer, though. Definitely.
I think this is the best thing for Lucha Underground because there's a lot of fans that, like you said, Credo, they don't get the El Rey Network. Mm-hmm. So they can't watch this product and they're interested in watching it, but they have no access to it. Now they have access to it. If they have a Netflix account, it helps the product grow. I've always been a fan of Lucha Underground. It's different. I mean, not different in a bad way. It's a lot more telegraphed, if I want to say, like it seems like you're actually watching a movie at some points, and there are some acting in it. There are some bad acting, but they do have great wrestling and they have great concepts. Like I like their Aztec War. It's similar to the Royal Rumble where they have 30 entrants. I believe they have 30, maybe less, and they all for number one and number two start. But it's not like a typical battle royal where you got to throw them out of the ring. They eliminated that so the luchadors and everybody, they could still jump out of the ring and do all those crazy spots. Everybody's coming in one at a time every 2 minutes. And the way you eliminate somebody is by pinfall. And that's their Aztec War. It's different. I actually like it. If you ever get a chance to watch one of those episodes, definitely look at it because it's actually a good watch. But the promotion itself, I mean, a lot of people – you know, didn't know certain guys that are on their roster, and now these guys are getting booked at indie scenes and indie shows, and they're putting on hell of matches. Like Pentagon Jr. Mm-hmm. is being booked all over the place. I never knew who Pentagon Jr. was until I watched Lucha Underground. Mm-hmm. Now this guy is like one of the hottest commodities to be booked on an independent circuit. So, I mean, for the product, there's a lot of fans that aren't familiar with it. They're going to be able to watch it now. They have no excuses, and I'm telling you, they're going to enjoy it.
So, real briefly, too, guys, the idea of seasons in pro wrestling, like, you know, 20 episodes or whatnot. Lucha Underground, I think, is the first promotion to recent time to do something like this, to where, you know, season one, season two. Do you think WWE eventually down the road could do something similar to where, hey, here's season one of NXT. You get to the end of the season, and then they can move on to other storylines and whatnot. Does it make sense to have call it seasons? Or, I mean, do you think other people could pretty much adapt to this kind of a concept? Because I like it because I feel like I can catch up on stuff now.
I don't think they're ever going to do the season finales and season breaks. They're so money hungry right now that they're just going to take it every week.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think they should. I mean, I think
it should.
I really definitely. Do, and I think a lot of guys on the roster would benefit from it. The only problem is, it's like Mike says. I mean, they are a money machine. They're always going to be touring. You know, they're required with these TV deals to put on a certain amount of programming, a certain amount of hours per week. So, I mean, unless down the road, you know, maybe. I mean, if they were to just phase out of cable altogether, but I don't think they ever could phase out of cable. I think they have to be on some type of network to stay relevant, because no one's going to buy the WWE network for Raw. I mean, it's just cable brings them so much revenue, and they were going to have to be on every week to continue to get that revenue.
All right, joining us today is Poughkeepsie's own, the now Vic Delicious and Hale Collins. Guys, how's it going?
I think we might be the most recurring guest you have, right?
I think this is the triple. This is the three-peat, right? The third time's the charm.
Yes, three-peat.
Now, guys, like I said, you know, we've had you on before. We learned about your past on the other episodes. But right now, no pun intended, we're going to look ahead to this weekend with Northeast Wrestling. Yeah, you guys have a few matches going on. But most importantly, you have a tag team title shot happening this weekend, which we'll talk in a few minutes. But tell me, guys, how has it felt to return to Northeast Wrestling this past year and just to get back into the mix of things with them?
I think it's been absolutely incredible. You know, the one thing that we wanted to do when we decided to make another run at this whole thing was we wanted to be tag team champions. So getting the opportunity to do that with Northeast Wrestling and everything that we've done with them so far has been with that goal in mind. So to have that be within our grasp with this weekend, it's pretty exciting stuff.
It was cool coming back, and I saw a lot of new faces that I never even met before, which is kind of cool. You know, so it's so far it's been a great experience.
The fan base is still there, though, guys. When you guys came back, you know, the now fans were still there chanting for you. They're glad that you're back. But speaking of, you know, you guys were the team of teams in Northeast Wrestling just a few short years ago. But since then, Northeast Wrestling has acquired some new teams, some competition out there for you guys now, if you will. Tell me about some of the guys that you faced already throughout the past year or whatnot since you came back, and your thoughts on them, including the current champions, so over, and who you're going to be facing this weekend.
I remember distinctly sitting at the Dutchess Stadium, and it was before the show had even started. We were sitting there doing the autograph, you know, the meet and greet with everyone. And I remember sitting at the table and me and Hale were meeting people, doing the whole thing. And I looked across from me, directly across, and there was two guys standing at a table with the Northeast Wrestling Tag Team titles on the table right in front of them. And I had wrestled Jimmy Preston a long time ago, but not, you know, certainly not in my most recent memory. And I couldn't believe, number one, how beautiful the belts were, because the Northeast Wrestling didn't have tag team titles when we were there. And we had begged and begged and begged for there to be tag team championships, but it just wasn't in the cards in our first run with Northeast. But then I just sat there and I kind of was just sizing those guys up. And then that night we had a match with the Battle Brothers, which turned into a violent feud, basically, and one that we haven't lost at all. But, you know, we've had a chance to be in there with the Battle Brothers. We've also had a chance to be in there with Adrenaline Rush, and those are the two other teams that are a part of the Fatal 4-Way that we have this weekend. And I'm very impressed with Adrenaline Rush. Those guys have a ton of charisma, a ton of attitude, and a ton of passion to try and get there. But the fact of the matter is that they're not us. And the Battle Brothers have already lost to us several times. So our biggest competition would have to be So Over, because we've never been in the ring with them. But I kind of feel like they've been running from us. I kind of feel like they're a little bit scared, and judging by their interviews and their promos, it kind of seems like they're a little bit afraid of us. And I know that that's Hale's favorite part of this entire thing, is that he knows they're afraid of us.
I would have to agree with you there on that one, because every time we go to a show, they're not there. So it's like they're definitely hiding from us. But see, let me ask you a question. Now, out of all these teams that you see in Northeast Wrestling now, do you really think they're in our league? When you look at the tag teams that we're in the ring with now, do you think that we belong in the ring with them, or do they belong in the ring with us? Do you think this is an equally challenged matchup? Now, let me know your thoughts about it.
Well, I'll tell you this. From seeing the Now return when you guys were in Newburgh last year to seeing the teams throughout the past few years, I've come to know them a lot more than, you know, just seeing them once. So seeing them compared to that, and I may be a little bit biased being from New York and Poughkeepsie area, but I'll tell you what. The Now, I don't think, has lost a step since you guys have left and returned to Northeast Wrestling. I definitely think you guys are still at the top of the ladder as far as tag teams go in the Northeast over here. So I think, you know, you guys have, you know, not being biased, but a better shot out of all these teams this weekend to capture the tag team championships. But guys, I got to ask you too, in your own words, because, you know, people may know Adrenaline Rush or the Battle Brothers or So Over. For some of the fans who may not know the Now from the New York area, what makes the Now better than any tag team out there today?
Experience, number one. We've been doing this collectively. I'm on 16 years, Hale's on 17 years in this business doing, you know, singles and tag team wrestling. So if there's anything that sets us apart from all of these other guys, it's the amount of experience that we've had. Nobody can compare with us with the places that we've been, the people that we've wrestled, the experiences that we've had. Absolutely nobody can compare with us. That's number one that sets us apart. Number two, we're actually legitimately really good friends. We're best friends. We talk to each other multiple times every single day. We know, I mean, I was best man at his wedding. I mean, he's been right there with me through the birth of my kids. Like, we're right there as actual tag team partners. So the thing that sets us apart from all these other guys is that, yeah, they're teams, but they're not really a tag team in the true sense of the word. We know everything about each other. We know what we're going to do. We have a plan going into every single match. We know what the other one's going to do before the other one even does it. We are at the point of perfection right now. We are at the peak of our game. Like, we're only in our early 30s, guys. Like, we're not old dinosaurs. Like, we started this when we were very, very young. And we're in our prime right now. We're not past our prime. We are in our prime now. So that's a pretty dangerous thing for everybody else to have to come up against. And I'm not being cocky, and I'm not being really braggadocious here, but I really feel that everybody else doesn't hold a candle to the experience that we have, and the fact that we're in our athletic prime, and the fact that we are really a legitimate tag team, and we really, really, really want those belts. I feel that that's one of the top achievements in my professional wrestling career. I want those championship belts. I need that as a notch on my career. I need that 100% gratification. There's nothing about having that championship opportunity that I take for granted. I absolutely, positively, I'm leaving at home a 1.5 week old baby that I just had to go out there and fight for those belts. So I'm not taking this for granted, and I'm not taking it lightly. I want those belts.
If you could sum up the tag team, what would you say in your own words? So why is the now better than any of these tag teams out there?
Well, you know, Vic said the best, but like I said, I can look at Vic when he's on the apron and know exactly what he's thinking without even verbally discussing it. So with that going forward, like, I know everything, what he's thinking, knows what I'm thinking. You know, like you said, the experience is there. But also, like, what separates me from Fry from the other tag teams is that, like, I don't really like any of them. On a personal level, I just don't like any of them. I mean, the Keith Youngblood guy, he's pretty cool. Like, he's all right. He, you know, he's very respectful and, like, really wants to, like, make it in wrestling. And he's always wanting to learn, stuff like that. But the fact is, like, I look across the ring and I'm like, really, guys? Do you guys even work out? Where'd you get your gear? Like, all this stuff. Like, I don't care, and I'm going to run through them. And I know the Battle Brothers are brothers, and they know each other really well, too, and all that stuff, but are they really physically able to take on us?
Well, I'll tell you guys, from an outsider looking in, you mentioned you're in your early 30s, but I'll tell you guys, I've seen you for years now, and you look to be in the best shape of your careers from what I've seen you the past few years. Vic, you're in incredible shape. I think you've even lost weight since the first time I've seen you compete in Poughkeepsie. How do you guys feel, though? I mean, you're definitely in, I think, a lot better shape than most of your opponents this weekend.
We took this run that we're on very, very seriously. And when we decided last April that last March that we were going to come back to Northeast Wrestling, we had just kind of started taking it very much more seriously. It was a little over a year ago. In that last year, I've lost 100 pounds. Wow. I have
120.
Maybe it's 120. Who knows? I stopped counting after 100. I literally have, you know, I've changed everything about who I am and what I do. And, I had gone through a period in my life where it was very hard for me to get over the fact that I didn't make it to the level that I wanted to make it to in professional wrestling. I had come very close in WWE to becoming a contracted superstar. I had come very close to getting everything that I ever wanted, and it all slipped right through my fingers. And it was very hard for me to get over that. And it took me a very long time, and establishing professional wrestling school and building our brand with House of Hardcore, you know, that was one step in the whole process. But we also had stepped away from Northeast Wrestling, and it felt like that part of our career was never settled. There was always a part of us that felt we had unfinished business there. And when we decided we were going to come back and we were going to do this now thing and take it to the max, you know, losing all this weight and getting back in shape and really feeling like we can hang with the best of the best, that wasn't something that we took lightly. And I feel like I could go in there right now with the best professional wrestling competition has to offer and totally hang. And that's not something I would have said a year ago with all the confidence in my voice. Like, I really feel that right now we are
as good as we could possibly be and ready for this opportunity. So we're not taking it lightly at all. And the thing that we've changed over the last year, you know, we used to be the guys that wanted to go out and, you know, have the best time and party it up and do all that stuff. And we don't take that, we don't take those opportunities as much anymore. And we kind of take it a little more seriously. And we know what we have in front of us. And within the blink of an eye, this whole professional wrestling thing could be gone. So every chance that we have to go out there and do this, we want to make sure we make the best of it, because that's the absolute true essence of living in the now, is because you don't know what tomorrow brings and you don't know what will be in the future. All that you got is right now. And it really took a lot of looking inside ourselves and really bringing this whole thing into perspective to realizing like why we'd even been on this journey in the first place, knowing that we live in the now and we're the guys that exemplify that. You know, it's actually like, it's really cool that we've had this whole gimmick this whole time. And when it turns out that a gimmick is how you should be living your whole life anyway, that's pretty damn cool.
Sure. Hal, what do you think, you know, it says, you know, this Sunday you have that first opportunity to bring those belts to Nowville. How does that make you feel?
Well, it's definitely the missing piece of the puzzle. Like when we were arrested for Northeast Wrestling years ago, they didn't even have tag belts. And we always were like, hey, you should get tag belts, because we are the best tag team in Northeast Wrestling. And we really want to represent, you know, the company that we are your tag team, the tag team. Put us up against anybody. We will beat them. We survive. We will wrestle to the end. And it's finally happening, you know, years later. And it's kind of surreal, because this is what we wanted since day one in Northeast Wrestling, was tag team championship belts. Just to show, just to have a trophy of we are the best. Mm-hmm. So it's finally happening. It's really cool. You know, it's we have a couple of people in our way. We're just going to go right through them. And nothing's going to stop us until we have those tag belts around our waist. Nothing is going to stop us.
Definitely. Now, guys, I want to play devil's advocate a little bit, and let's say you don't win Sunday. What do you think the other teams will take away from having faced you that night?
That they got luckier.
Yeah, you know, like, definitely that they got lucky. I agree with that. Yeah.
That's really all it really is. I mean, I'll see that.
And fear. There's no way that those guys could ever possibly think that they could beat us straight up. So whatever happens on Sunday, and, you know, it's going to kill me to walk out of that building without those belts if it happens, because to have them on the line and have them be right in front of our face and to not get them, you'd almost have to... You're going to have to kill me to not get those belts, because I'm not going to tap out. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. The big variable is that it's a four-way, so there's other guys who could get pinned, or, you know, they could lose the match or win the match that we don't have any control over. But if we can do our best to stay in there, to stay part of the action and not let anybody else really become part of the mix, you know, that's what we're going to try and do. That's a strategy right now. That's our goal, is to not let that happen. But if it does happen, I know that there is only so far they can go.
Yeah, but there's no way we're not going to win.
Well, guys, I wish you nothing but the best. Good luck this weekend. For the fans listening out there too, where can they keep up with you in the social media universe?
Steve, will you be there this weekend?
I will be there, both shows.
Nice.
Well, since Hale got the interview, I thought I'd interview you real fast.
Yes, AWP will be in
there.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yes.
I look forward to it. That's fantastic. You can find us on social media. I'm on Twitter at Victalicious, VikDalishus. And then we have Hale at Hale_Collins. on Twitter, and you can also find us on Facebook at Vic, V-I-K, Hale, H-A-L-E. We share a Twitter account, so you're able to, or share a Facebook account, so you're able to talk to the both of us on there, check out our pictures, check out our upcoming events, all that good stuff.
Nice.
And see where we're going to be, because we're going to be all over the place over the next 3 months. We have, actually, we have some of the most bookings that we've had in a very long time coming up. The next three months are very busy.
Yeah, I think we're like booked almost every weekend.
Yeah. Jeez. And if you want to see Vic Delicious and Hale Collins, then now, in your area, make sure that you tell a promoter, shout us out, do hashtag the now. We'd love to be in some new places. We would love to do some traveling. We'd love to check out some places that we've never been to. There's a lot of really hot independent promotions going on right now. I think independent wrestling is at its crescendo right now. There's so much going on in independent professional wrestling across the United States, across England, Japan, Ireland. I mean, there's a lot of really cool places, and we want to take on the best. So if you think there's a tag team in your area that's looking for competition, we'd love to be there. Please shout us 100%.
Out. 100%.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you this weekend.
Yes, and we'll make sure you get the first picture with our shiny new tag team titles.
Today's show is brought to you by...
This week we have a sponsor. Yeah, bitches. It's the Rundown Wrestling Podcast. It's a weekly show where 2 to 3 guys sit down, complain about wrestling. They review mostly WWE. I hear that the show often goes off the rails.
Follow them on Twitter at Rundown Podcast.
Promo of the week.
Mick, if you've got something to say to me, say it to my face.
I'd be happy to. I just didn't know you really existed. I thought you just kind of hid in the shadows.
You know, it's funny that no one can ever find me, but yet I'm everywhere. I'm wondering, do you guys really look? Do you? I'm not hiding, Mick. I'm running a business, and you should be happy that I have a business sense. You know why? Because that business sense makes it so that I don't want a lawsuit 3 weeks before WrestleMania. And me not wanting a lawsuit means that I don't rip your badly in need of a hip replacement leg off and beat you senseless with it.
So now, are you saying you're going to rip my leg off and beat me senseless with it, or are you going to assign that task to Samoa Joe? Because that seems to be the way you roll these days.
You are a fun little nostalgia act, aren't you? You want to read off the name of the city from your hand now? Get a cheap pop right here in Detroit? Let's go with the Joe!
All right, guys. Just going to throw out a few of the must-see matches that I think were the creme de la creme of the week. So for Raw, I think we would all be in agreement if I was to say Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens versus Jericho and Sami Zayn was probably the best match on Raw. Though you do got to give an honorable mention, and I can't believe I'm saying this, to Roman Reigns. And what the fuck is his name? This is my segment. I don't even know the fucking guy's name. Rusev's former partner.
Jinder Mahal.
That was actually a pretty decent match, guys. I mean, I was like, seriously? Roman Reigns just have a decent match? Better yet, did Jinder Mahal just have a really good match? Hard body, yeah. Mahal, baby. He's actually bad.
You know what I liked about that? At the end, I mean, you had Shawn Michaels come out, but then at the end when Roman was standing there, when Strowman just like bodied the shit out of Roman, and Roman just went flying like he just got ejected out of a car, flew into that railing, and then it like kind of flew and rolled under the stage. That was crazy. I mean, the bump that he took, that had to hurt.
SmackDown, I give it to the women again, Becky Lynch and Natty. Somebody was trying to put over the Mickie James Alexa Bliss match, and I'm like, were you guys watching the same fucking match? That was terrible. Poor Mickie and poor what's her face, had no goddamn chemistry this week. It was just not a good match. I don't care what anybody tells you. Let's go on to the 205 Live. Of course, the Fatal 5-Way. Ladies and gentlemen, Austin Aries, TJ Perkins, Brian Kendrick, Tony Nese, and Akira Tozawa. This was probably the best match of the week. So this is something you guys have to check out for our little mixtape. And, of course, NXT, Bobby Roode, and Cassius Ohno. Can we talk about this briefly? Cassius Ohno, I think he's a talented guy. But there's no way he's ever making it to the main roster.
Not no. With that.
There's no way.
No, him and his 92 Dream Team outfit. No. I mean, oh, great God. Talent, amazing in the ring. But I don't, like, what do you do with Cassius Ohno now? That's the thing.
That motherfucker needs a treadmill. I'm sorry. Talented dude. But, dude, if you want to make it up to the main roster, that's why they booted him out in the first place. But,
well, apparently the reason why he's gained so much weight, he has a thyroid problem. Oh. And he can't control it.
Just like every other bitch in this world. My thyroid's out of whack. Well, my ass is fat.
What's funny with this is that his name is Cassius Ohno, K-O. When he left, Kevin Owens pretty much took that KO gimmick away from him. You can't have two KOs on the damn roster, especially when you move up. I'm surprised he didn't just come back as Chris Hero. That's what's going to be funny to when he does move up. If he does move up, are they just going to call him Cassius? Are they just going to call him Ohno, which is even worse than that? But yeah, I mean, like, his trunks and tights all had KO on them. KO, he left, Kevin Owens came in, and then Kevin Owens pretty much got that KO gimmick. And that's what's going to be interesting to where if he does move up, what the hell are they going to do with him for a name? Are we just going to call him Cassius? I mean, Chris Hero would have been probably the best route they could have went with that one.
It's funny because at the NXT tapings, when he came out, he was coming out as Cassius Ohno, but he was wearing a Chris Hero t-shirt. And everybody pointed that out. People in the crowd were a little confused. Like, why is he wearing a Chris Hero t-shirt? Like, one of his shirts that he sold on the indie scene, yet he's coming out as Cassius Ohno. This is, you know, some people were just confused. I mean, it was funny, though.
I'm surprised they let him do that.
I don't even think they noticed it, because only the hardcore fans really noticed it, because it had his trademark on the back, Death by Elbow, and it said Chris Hero, but it was small. It was one of the shirts it was on ProWrestlingTees.com, that one of the shirts that he sells at shows. So the WWE, the staff in the back, they didn't pick up on it, but the fans picked up on it as soon as he came out.
All right, well, those were the must-see matches of the week, and Cassius Ohno and his big fat gut.
Who will survive?
On the road to WrestleMania, we've been talking about this each week. We'll have our own little WrestleMania special, but each week we've been talking about the biggest matches that are, you know, kind of the main events, if you will, of the show. Unfortunately, we have to talk about this match this week. We've all had our, you know, grievances about it and whatnot, but AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon was made official this week. Guys, you know, let's just get right into it. I mean, for me, I've said it before, I'll say it again. AJ Styles held that championship for over 6 months, and he lost it within a pay-per-view to Mania. And now all of a sudden we're in the Shane McMahon feud, and I hate it. I hate it because you have, on one hand, one of the best wrestlers in the world not going against another top contender, another guy who could be, you know, one of the best wrestlers they have. Hell, I would take AJ Styles versus John Cena Part 5 or whatnot at WrestleMania than see this match. But let's hear it out. Why did this happen, and how did we get here? AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. Why, guys? Why?
Because we had to have a McMahon on the card.
Yeah. Here's the positive about this match. And unfortunately, the positive is not for us. The positive is for AJ.
Yes.
Now, he's the positive, and the only positive I pick out of this is the fact that he's, like you said, you have to have a McMahon on a card. He's wrestling a McMahon. Therefore, McMahon is considered a top talent. Therefore, you're wrestling a top talent. Therefore, you're going to get top talent money. So AJ's paycheck is going to be nice. That's the only positive I see out of this. Other than that,
That's not necessarily true either, because, I mean, you remember CM Punk bitching about the pay compared to what the Undertaker...
CM Punk was getting paid nice.
Of course, but compared to what the Undertaker was getting, and come on, he had to carry that old man.
Yeah, well, Undertaker compared to CM Punk, I mean, that's night and day. That's apples to oranges, unfortunately. And I like CM Punk, but you got a guy who's been in the company for 20-plus years versus a guy who's been there for 7 years, not even. And that. So, yeah, I can understand that a guy like Taker is going to get more money. But that's going to be
I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve more money, but what I'm saying is it's not going to be – I bet you if I could get the figures, I would guarantee you Shane would probably make more than –
definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Shane's going to make more because he's a McMahon. Of course, I'm not saying he's going to make more than Shane, but Shane's going to get a nice paycheck more than the normal matches because he's in a marquee match right now. He's going to face Shane McMahon, a McMahon, at WrestleMania. So, yeah, it's going to be a marquee match. They're going to put a lot behind it. Do we want to see it? No. We don't. Absolutely not. I mean, let's look at SmackDown. I mean, yeah, I said last week I really enjoyed the big backstage altercation they had right after the match. I thought it was good. And now you fast forward it to this past SmackDown and you have AJ like outside of in the parking garage like a stalker. And he's constantly getting interviewed. Like, he wants to sneak up on Shane, yet he's constantly getting interviewed by Renee. Like, Renee just has to get the hot scoop. And then, like, once Shane shows up, which, first of all, let's look at it this way. Shane was late to his own show. That just showed great leadership right there. Yeah. He's late to his own show.
That's it.
He's supposed to be running the damn show. He's there late. Poor Daniel Bryan. And that's got to do everything. If I was Daniel Bryan, I'd be like, oh, look out. You got AJ Styles lurking in the parking lot. Homeboy's going to pop off on you when he comes in. Like that. There you go. There's a text. Daniel Bryan, not a good friend right there. He set him up.
How about this, though, guys? Because, you know, last year it was AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho, Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. Chris Jericho was out of breath trying to keep up with AJ. AJ actually, just watching it, had to slow his pace down just to so Chris Jericho could, you know, keep up with him. How the hell is Shane McMahon going to keep up with AJ? And why do we have to see AJ at half speed just for Shane McMahon? I mean, is this just going to be a regular match? Or are they going to make it a no DQ maybe at the end of the day? Or what do you guys see happening with this? Because, you know, technically, too, last year they both lost their WrestleMania matches. So what good is going to happen out of this? I mean,
let me ask you a question. Wasn't Jericho pretty much fresh coming back when he was wrestling AJ, or had he been around for a little bit? I want to say
he's been around for a little bit.
No. Wasn't he just coming off one of his breaks?
No, because he was in the Royal Rumble match. And then the night after the Royal Rumble, he had the match with AJ.
Yeah,
where AJ schoolboy.
But didn't he return at the Royal Rumble or
no, he was there before the Rumble.
I don't know. I really want to say that he was.
No, like, he was there. It wasn't a big debut for him at the Rumble. He was there probably a couple months before then. Because I'm trying to remember who he feuded with.
Even if he had a break, though, even if he had a break, Jericho still wrestled more than Shane McMahon has been doing. So
No, that's a fair point. But the point I wanted to make was, is Jericho has got a lot more weight on him than Shane does. Shane is a lean motherfucker. I'm not saying that. You know, he's in the greatest of shape. I mean, you saw the shape that he got in last year, and, you know, his cardio has always been pretty good. Jericho is carrying on a few extra pounds these days. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm sure he did make Mike Colon proud there, AJ Styles. I mean, he did teach Shane how to do those rabbit punches, baby.
Oh, man, that's the only thing.
Right, motherfucker. This is how you do them right.
That's the only thing that's going to be up to speed in that match. I mean, they have to put a stipulation on this match because I don't like if this is just a regular match, like this is going to be the most boring match I've ever seen on a WrestleMania card. So I guarantee you it's going to be a street fight. It's going to be something crazy where they can do a couple big spots where Shane can get tossed around like a rag doll and that's it. And that doesn't really benefit AJ in a way because we all want to see that classic WrestleMania caliber match. Like, this is like, I mean, Okada versus Omega. I bring this match up a lot, as you noticed the past couple weeks. And the reason why I bring it up a lot, because there was rumors go around that Vince wanted to top that match. How are you going to top it? You have a guy like AJ who has the potential to top that match with the right person, and you put him in there with Shane? Come on.
What if this is like the greatest match you've ever seen?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, just, you're smoking too much marijuana.
I was being sarcastic, motherfucker. Come on now.
You're gonna, there's this always match, a possibility. There always is a possibility where it's going to be a decent match.
Yeah, I mean, I really I'm hopeful that it's a decent match. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a WrestleMania moment. But, I mean, we're expecting the absolute worst because of the match he had with The Undertaker last year. He's wrestling with somebody who he doesn't have to carry. Shane, who hadn't wrestled for years, had to carry The Undertaker. Now he's wrestling with somebody who's a ring general. This might be intriguing because if he has the right chemistry with AJ, this might be a pretty decent match.
So they're calling WrestleMania an ultimate thrill ride. So I guarantee there's going to be like a big stunt by Shane. Watch them, because they call it the ultimate thrill ride and all their advertisements been roller coasters. Watch the set be a fucking roller coaster and Shane's gonna fucking climb to the top and jump off the fucking roller coaster. He's gonna do something stupid. I just hope for his health and his safety on this. Like, I'm over the whole jumping off of big objects. Give me a technical match, please.
Well tell me, guys, you know, they both lost last year. How, the fans' perspective, I mean, AJ Styles, one of the best wrestlers going today and has been for the past few years. Shane McMahon, you know, he's had incredible spots in the past. A few little highlights of wrestling and whatnot. He is the boss's son. Who's walking out of this the winner? I don't know. Who do you see, and maybe who do you want to see win? Is it too hard to say?
Oh my God, like,
Carlin, AJ Styles. There's just no question about it. That might be the worst question you've ever asked on another wrestling podcast, Credo. Because if Shane McMahon wins this match, I guarantee you, that might be the last straw. That might be the straw where people are like, I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah,
I can't.
You put the bet on Goldberg and you're insulting our intelligence. You have Shane beat AJ Styles and you talk about the internet's going to explode on that one. I mean, granted, you already got AJ, his tiny little head on the WrestleMania poster all the way in the back. And you got all the part-timers lined up in the front with Shane right there. I mean, that's something the internet already blew up over already. Now you put Shane over in that match. Oh man, you might see literally hashtag cancel WWE Network exploding.
Now, you know, guys, a lot of people were saying too, like, oh, I hope Shane picks somebody. I was one of them, to where, you know, could this have went another route? Couldn't it have just been Shane gets to the point where he's like, you know, I really can't do this anywhere, but I'm going to have this guy take my place. And you bring up like Nakamura or somebody. I don't even book these matches. I'm not hired by WWE, but just to entice the fans who are going to be at WrestleMania, like, wouldn't you want to see that match over a Shane McMahon match?
Pretty much. I mean,
yes.
There's a lot of guys I could see, but half of them aren't even on SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown was a train wreck this week. I mean, we had to watch Dolph Ziggler and against that fucking meth addict, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, you mean Mojo Riley, the guy who probably downed like 20 Red Bulls, took a couple 5 hours before he came out there, that red line shit, and that just explodes. He's like a modern day Ultimate Warrior. You know, I like Mojo, I really do, because like,
I can't stand him. There's nothing to like about him.
You hear him on Talking Smack, and he's genuinely a really cool dude. Like, the guy has a doctrine.
I want to point out that this is how exciting AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon is, that we're fucking talking about Mojo Rawley right now. how we just lost total interest about anything that this match could give us, that we've succumbed to talking about Mojo Rawley and how much he's anything.
I would rather talk about anything. I think I'm just in denial.
I don't know what else you could say about it, though. I mean, that's the road to WrestleMania. We're still on it. We're still getting close to it. We'll probably have a few more matches before our WrestleMania special. But everybody listening after two, I want to remind you, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Like us, follow, subscribe to us, all that fun stuff's on anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Guys, man, you know, each and every week this is happening right here.
Everyone, don't forget, fuck that owl.